Tonight, I'd like to read just a little scripture, and I think we'll just read a little in the 15th chapter of the book of St. Matthew's. If you've got your Bibles, read with me, beginning down the first verse. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother. And he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect, by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, they both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly, and is cast out into the draw? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulterers, fornication, theft, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. Great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they've continued with me now 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples said unto him, Whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness, as to feed so great a multitude? And Jesus saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? And they said, Seven, and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the seven loaves and the fishes, and gave thanks, and brake them, and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men beside women and children. And he sent away the multitude and took ships and came into the coast of Magdala. Now, you know, Jesus here emphasizes faith, the woman's faith. In the 17th chapter, the 20th verse, And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder's place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Now, there's a lot of things that we talk about concerning the Holy Scriptures. A lot of times we refer to Mark, in the 11th chapter, the 22nd verse, because it carries such a positive statement concerning faith. The 11th chapter in the 22nd verse, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. I want you to notice, the Bible speaks of the mystery of God concerning the faith. And we have, for a good little while, referred back to Revelation 10 in our teachings, because there's so much to be found in Revelation 10. In Revelation 10, the 10th chapter, the 7th verse, as we refer you back to it, it is stated that in the days of the voice of the 7th angel, when he begins to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he promised to his apostles, prophets. And then it is stated, as I say so often in Revelation 11:15, that the last angel sounded. And then the Bible teaches that at the sounding of that last trump, voices begin to cry out, saying that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Now, in looking at this, it is evident that the mystery concerning the faith that we read to you tonight about, the mystery concerning godliness and the mystery concerning iniquity, is evident by this teaching and this scripture, that at the sounding of this voice of the 7th angel, that all of the mysteries of God would be finished. That the mystery of God would be finished, and the Bible teaches, great is the mystery of godliness. And Paul said, I am made a steward of the mysteries. But this is one thing to take notice to, and that is, Paul said, I am made a steward of the mysteries of God, but yet he said, I have received the revelation of Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is evident that the mysteries of God is concealed within the revelation of Jesus Christ. And should the revelation come, and should the thing reveal itself to make itself the revealed, all the revelation, then it means that the mysteries would be made known. And the Bible said at the sounding of the last trump, the mysteries of God should be finished. Paul even made this statement, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we'll all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, at Thessalonians' chains, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, God Himself, for that is Jesus, shall appear from heaven, and we shall behold Him, and in that moment, we shall be changed into the likeness of the Lord Jesus, and great and mighty things will take place in that the dead shall come up out of the ground. For the grave shall give up the dead, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Whereas the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, caught up to be with Christ, and then the millennium will set in for that great 1,000 years reign that He promised us. But it's so wonderful to know that we can understand. And it is evident to me that when the Bible speaks of this last angel sounding, it will be in the end of the world. And we've got numbers of tapes here, numbers of messages here. You've got them where we broke it down.
and brought it out concerning the sounding and how it sounded at the end of the world. It's evident that when Revelation 10 says this angel will sound, he had reference to the end of the world. Because in 10:7, the angel of Revelation 10, with the rainbow about his head, said he would sound. Revelation 11:15, he did sound. And in Revelation 11, it says when he sounded, a voice said, "Now the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." And the Bible said the nations were angry, for now has come the wrath of God, and it is time for him to give reward to his holy prophets and apostles. Now then, it's evident that with this, that was the end of the world. So he said he will sound, and he did sound, and it is projected as being the end of the world, because at that time the kingdoms of the world were taken. The Bible said that Satan shall wear out the saints of God, and then all of a sudden the saints shall rise and take the kingdom, and they shall possess it forever and forever. And I say this again, it is true fact that Lucifer, with his worldly system, in that he is the Antichrist power and he is the head of the world system, and the world system belongs to Lucifer, it is a true fact, with his do's and don'ts and pressures and what we must do, he hath literally worn out the people and worn out the saints of God. But it is also true that light shall come in the evening time. And right at this very precision moment, all of a sudden there is something coming forth, as the Bible teaches. There will be a sudden inspiration and something will happen. And something will come forth and the saints of God will take on a new courage. And they shall rise and take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever. Now let's look at it for just a minute. We could go on all night with the greatest of these. Believe me, I'm telling you the truth. The revelation of God is so great, so deep, and so mighty that we could go on all night with the greatest of these. Whereas Paul did preach all night. But here is the thing that I want to say. Notice the thing that's happening to Israel. Notice the thing that's happening concerning Jimmy Carter and Reagan. These are things I speak of because you're familiar with them. They're your intellect, you're programmed with these things and your thought pattern. And that makes me closer to you when I go to try to bring something spiritually, if I arouse this understanding of the natural. Now, look at Jimmy Carter, look at Reagan's, look at Begin. I understand that Begin is coming over here right away. He's on his way now, I understand. Going to try to explain why that they bombed the little countries they just bombed. You know, when you blow up children, tear children and women and people all to pieces with guns and bombs, what kind of explanation do you give? There is no explanation for any such as that. But see, it is evident that what Israel is hoping to do is to keep the favor of America and keep America warding off war with Russia and the bigger nations, while Israel, they themselves, rise up and get revenge and do away with all of their enemies round and about that's close to their neighborhood. Because they know sooner or later those people are going to pounce on them and blow them off of the map. Some of them's already threatened to do it. So then Israel has the thing cunningly planned. But what do you do with Israel? The Bible said, if you touch Jacob, you touch the apple of my eye. Now, either Israel is crazy and slap out of their minds and don't have any more sense of reasoning, or either the thing that's happening is the act of God, in that the Bible teaches the preparation of man's heart is from God. If it is the act of God, and I certainly don't believe that Israel is out of their mind, because I believe that Israel is some of the smartest people in the world. So I don't believe they're out of their minds. I believe that it is the act of God, and if it is the act of God, that means it is the end of the world. Because what Israel is doing is going to stir up every nation on the face of the earth. There ain't a man or woman on the face of the earth that could just sit back and let Israel bomb people and tear people to pieces and kill little ones and wives and not be stirred up and tore up over it. Nobody could do that. So then every nation in the world is going to be stirred up against Israel. They started the thing here a while back and they got it simmered down. But I told you, brethren, I said, it won't be the end of it. I said, because God intends to stir every nation of the world against Israel. For he promised in his word, someday I will gather all nations together against Israel. And I will come and I will stand for Israel, Revelation 19. And I will plead their cause. I will plead their cause till the blood runs up to the horse's bridle. So then God's intention is to get all of the nations of the world stirred up against Israel. Because the nations of the world, they persecuted Israel from one end of the world to the other. Even the Holocaust. Those things have been terrible upon Israel. And God has not forgotten. But the Bible teaches that at Calvary, God allowed Israel to depart out of the mind of God, out of the presence of God, that they might become, as it was told in the Old Testament, an escape goat, or as Moses told it to the people, they were to become the escape goat that was to go away into the wilderness until the time of the days of the Gentiles were over. Or that is to be a purification of those that could not help themselves. So that God could have compassion on Israel by the escape goat. And then the Bible speaks of the true Israel, which is the spiritual Israel. God having given us Jesus as an escape goat, Jesus went away into the wilderness, out of the presence of God, in that we esteem him smitten of God, bruised for our iniquities, and the Bible says the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Jesus being a Jew, not in that he was of Jew blood, but born in a Jew family, being the head of the Jewish people, or of the Jewish nation, when Jesus was killed, the body died. The membership of the Jewish people died because they killed their head. Jesus being the natural head to the natural nation, Christ being the spiritual head to the spiritual nation or to the spiritual Jew. So then, since that time of Jesus' death and the Jews going out of the presence of God as an escape goat to give grace unto the Gentiles until the coming in of the fullness of the Gentiles, since that time we have had it plush. Gentiles have eaten and drank and frolicked. They've not tried to perfect holiness unto God. Whereas the Bible said Israel at one time was holiness unto the Lord. And he commanded us to be holiness unto the Lord. And even when John the Baptist was born, the prophets of his father came forth. It was that we should serve God in holiness and in righteousness all the days of our life. This was God's chosen way, that we should be holy, we should be godly, we should be pure all the days of our life and withdraw from everything that's not holy and everything that's not godly, to never compromise in any way, in any respect with anything, but to be holy. He said to be holy, or I am holy. And so then we see the scapegoat, and now then all of a sudden we see the days of the Gentiles coming to a close. For what Israel is doing, believe it or not, it is the beginning of the tribulation period. Everything is set now for the tribulation period to come in. And the tribulation period involves Jacob. For he said, I will make Jacob to pass through the fire. That is, I will put Israel through the tribulation period. And that means that the Antichrist is on the verge of coming on the scene. I said not too long ago, I said, Jimmy Carter is not through. Just watch and see. Coming out, remember. Now let's be spiritual for a minute. And some of you that have heard me teach the revelation, you can tie this together with the other things that we've detailed to where you know what we're saying. Washington being symbolic of heaven. Remember, speaking spiritually now, Paul said, I'd like to speak unto your spirituals. As in heaven, so in the earth. Whatever happens in the spirit happens in the natural. Washington being typical of heaven, though thou makest thy nest among the stars, from thence I shall cast thee down to hell. Again we say, though thou climbest up to heaven, from thence I shall cast thee out. When they landed on the moon, I say again that they called it the nest. It is the moon among the stars. Lucifer, from the old tree of knowledge and education and science, climbed up to the moon, made his nest among the stars, and the only one that was able to send any religious thing up there was the Catholic people, though we are a Protestant nation. Though thou makest thy nest among the stars, I shall cast thee out. The Bible said the moon shall turn to blood, the sun shall not give its light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. It's evident that right at this moment, scientists is predicting a nova of the sun. They're predicting a turbulence in the heavens, a change of the entire operation of Mother Nature, in that they say that the planets are going to line up and all these great things are at hand. Everything that they're saying, if you check it, it runs perfectly in line with the book of Revelation and with what God said would happen at the finishing of the mysteries. Here at this moment, out of all other times, Israel acts up. Now you brethren know that this is the truth. I said, brethren, when the 80s come, the trouble will start. Isn't that right? I said, just believe it or not, wait and see. If it comes to pass, then you'll know I've told you the truth. If it doesn't, then you can just cast it off. But I said, it will come to pass in the 80s, the trouble will start. And brethren, it started. Israel has started not to stop. It won't be stopped. Now, look at it typically speaking. Jimmy Carter, J.C. That's why Brother Ward is here tonight, Brother J.C. Ward. We come back from Louisiana. We come back from where we bought the ship. The ship that we bought is Darren Tarpon, waiting to be used. The thing has just come over the dry dock in good shape. From there, picking up the title, we went down into Louisiana, New Iberia, Louisiana. You know what it had to do with Tony and the Catholic priest being baptized. Remember that? How that the Catholic priest said, after 27 years, my eyes have been opened and I've come to know the truth. And I have deceived people all of these years and misled them. And for the rest of my life, I'll devote my ability to straightening out and telling them the truth. Coming back from down there, here we are, and all of a sudden, Brother J.C., for the first time, comes here. And the Bible said the preparation of man's heart is from God. We say, well, Brother J.C., just come. No. No, it is true that he took an ocean to come just like you did or I did, but the Bible said the preparation of man's heart is from God. Can evil come to a city? And I've not seen it, saith the Lord. I create the good. I create the evil. I have my way in both. I work all things after the counsel of my own will. I rule in the affairs of mankind. So whether we are here for good or bad, and I certainly believe Brother J.C. is here for good, but whether we come for good or bad, speaking to all of you, God sent you here. Even when the sons of God came together, Satan came in the midst of them. And so then it doesn't matter. God has his way. The mind of God unveils itself step by step. The great, mighty, revealing, unveiling of the mind of God, the revelation of Jesus Christ. It unveils itself, all that was in the mind of God before the world ever was. All of God's things are known unto him from the beginning. He knows who's going to be saved, who isn't going to be saved. He has already predestinated program. Everything is set up as we brought out on tape. God knows every twist and turn in your life. He knows when you're going to backslide and when you're coming back, and if you're ever coming back, and if you're ever going to backslide. He knows if you're going to be converted or not be converted. All of His works, the Bible said, are known unto Him from the beginning. Even the very hairs of our head is numbered. So then when we see Jimmy Carter, and you remember how they put the beard on Jimmy, I said he had to do with Jesus and the type. There he was, remember? Paul got the revelation, and Paul said that Sarah was a type of heavenly Jerusalem. And he said that Hagar was a type of old Jerusalem. Remember how he brought down the allegories, the types and the shadows? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ being God, or God being a spirit, speaking to us, communicating with us through the old sign language type, as we say. That is like the Indians with their smoke signals and their communication. The hieroglyphics, all these things that communication, God speaking to us, and the rustling of the leaves of the tree. When you hear the sound of the rustling of the mulberry tree, know that the move is on. God speaking in the fire. God speaking in the rock. God speaking through the dove. God always speaking to us. Our communication with the invisible God. We come to understand God through the Bible and repentance. And then we develop the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And once we get the mind of Christ, then we can communicate with God. See, there is no hope of salvation without Jesus. No hope. It is Christ within you that is the hope of glory. Why? Because the Bible said Jesus, or Christ, was made heir to the glory of God, and He alone was made heir to the glory of God. Therefore, for you to be made heir to the glory of God, you've got to have the one that was made heir to the glory of God. That is, if it is Christ in you, He is heir to the glory of God. It is Christ in you, the hope of that glory. If you have not Christ, then you're none of His. So then, when we think of this great, wonderful communication, and we think of this great, wonderful God, we look at the types and the shadows, and we see as through the unveiling of the mind of God, or the Spirit of God, we see the hour in which we're living. We see the time in which we're living. As in heaven, so in earth, paralleling, running along together. Something happens in heaven, and a prophet says, "Thus saith the Lord in the earth." Something happens in the Spirit, and the saints of God says, "Thus saith the Lord," in the church. So then, when we see these things, knowing that when the minister speaks, it is not him speaking, but it is the Heavenly Father, or the voice of God. Let him that hear, that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. For God is in His temples, and ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. The man that defileth him will God destroy. So then, here we see the type. Jimmy Carter, as we would say, in heaven, in the White House. All of a sudden, we see from over in China, here comes the red dragon. Remember, Revelation 12, the woman's got her feet on the moon. America, the woman nation, standing on the moon. The stars over her head. In great travail to bring forth a man-child, J.C., Jimmy Carter, Jesus Christ. There was in the type, the dragon nation, all fitting together, red China. Here comes the killer of killers. Over to America, laying there before the woman, ready to devour the child as soon as he is born. And we've said much about that in the physical and natural realms as well as the spiritual. But just staying with this one perspective here tonight, to where we won't get confused. Here we look, there he comes, the old red dragon himself. Coming over, and what happens? Jimmy goes out of office. He doesn't stay but one term. That's unusual for a president. What is it? Cut off in the midst of the days? What is it? It has to do with something. See, it has to do with the rent veil. Carter, Reagan, Jesus, the Christ. He that knew no sin, Jimmy Carter, a good president, was made sin. Jesus that knew no sin was made sin. Jimmy Carter that did not do wrong was blamed with wrong. It was to be that way. Some of you know that I spoke about that before it happened. How it had to do with the travail and how that they'd bring on something and literally crucify. And they did it. Now, but the Son was to be rejected that He might die. Isn't that right? That He might die, that the Christ might come forth. The Jews went out of the presence of God, the rent veil. The bodily part had to die to show that there was no sin against humanity. All sin is taken away by the death of Jesus. The Jews being the members of that body. All of the world has grace through the spilt blood of Jesus. So then when we see this, the blood spilt, the blood life, the old red dragon himself, that life that come from human relation, the old red dragon, isn't it true, and I've said this before, just as quick as a child is born into the kingdom of God in the church, isn't that old red blood life waiting? Speaking in the physical perspective now. Isn't it true that the old red dragon of blood life is waiting to devour the child? Just as soon as a person becomes a Christian, they say, you got to be on the football team. We've got a volleyball team. You got to play on the basketball team. What is it? It's the old carnal mind that comes from the tree of knowledge and the old blood life, loving the things of the world. The love of the Father's not in you if that love of the world is there. That old blood life, that old red dragon, Lucifer, that is within the flesh, it dwelleth no good thing, Paul said. For the will is present, but how to perform that which is good, I can't find it. That old blood life is laying there, and it's ready to grab that child just as soon as it's born. God is trying to get it up into the mind of Christ, into the heavenly realm, to make a soldier on the cross out of it, and to make a great spiritual person out of it, and to make a light unto the people out of it. But old football is there, and old basketball is there, and old volleyball is there. Lucifer, with his old carnal mind, is standing there saying, what you need is a career. God is standing there saying, what you need is salvation. You don't need education. You don't need college. You need God. That's what you need. All that's born of God is of a good understanding. And I say again, I'm not condoning ignorance. I'm trying to get you to see something. The old red dragon is laying there. That old blood life, that old natural life, that life from human nature. But you know, I'm glad of one thing. The Bible says that Jesus was not born out of passion. That is, it says He was not born of the will and desire of man, but it was the will and desire of God as the great overshadowing of the Holy Spirit came upon Mary. The divine conception, and a great thing happened, and the Son of God, that holy thing, came forth into this world. Blood, not the old red dragon, because Lucifer was not in that blood. Jesus said, Satan cometh, but he hath no part in me. He never could get Jesus to retaliate. He never could get Jesus angry. He never did get Jesus upset. He never did get into the bloodstream of Jesus. That was the new blood. That was the blood life of God. That was that new blood, because this man that came forth was the quickening spirit. That was that spirit life. You've got the royal blood in you because His Spirit is in there making it. That same spirit that lived in his blood genes that produced that royal blood is living in your bloodstream now, and he's changing your blood into royal blood. Your natural life is dead, buried. The rent veil is there. And the body of sin, the beast part of you, has been buried in the lovely name of our Lord. And it's not you that's living, but it's the body of Jesus, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me, Paul said. The life I now live, I live by the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, when we see this, then we see the scapegoat going away into the wilderness. We ourselves as a lamb killed all the day long, led to the slaughter, a pure lamb, a holy lamb, without spot, without blemish. We, as the body of our Lord and Savior, that's without spot, blemish, wrinkle. Why? Because the Bible said God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, made them perfect forever. And the Bible said God has sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus at Calvary. And the Bible said God hath predestinated them, and who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And the Bible says that God hath glorified them as well as justified them. And the Bible said nothing can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. So great a love at Calvary. Having loved us so much while we're yet in our sins that he gave him own son to die for us, how much more does he love us now that we're living holy or doing our best to live holy? How much more does he love us now that we're doing our best to please him? So then, we are God's, predestinated in him, complete in him, perfected in him. Never from the time that you're born again, never from that time on, do you ever commit a sin. Never again. For he that is born of God cannot sin, for God's seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. And the Bible said he keepeth himself. He has the Holy Ghost. He has the power over sin. The ability to keep himself. And the evil one toucheth him not. Never. Never does he touch him. He's without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. And here we are, the body of Jesus, delivered up to Calvary. The lamb for the people, that grace may continue. Here we are, the body of Jesus, delivered up, the body for our inner soul. In the conflict of the body, Lucifer dwelling in it, being put away from us, reckoning ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin and the law by the body of Jesus Christ. Thus we are free from sin, in that sin is the transgression of the law. Thus we are free from death, because death comes from the sting of sin. And where there's no law, there's no transgression. Where there's no transgression, there's no sin. And where there's no sin, there's no death. Oh, grave, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Jesus took it out at Calvary. Having passed from death unto life, Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We're going to get a new understanding. We're going to come to a revelation. We're going to understand this mystery, and they're not going to put us in a coffin and throw dirt over us. No, they're not going to do that. But we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the sounding of the last trump in Revelation 11:15, and he sounded. Now, when we see the thing like Jimmy Carter, there is Jimmy. What is it? Out Jimmy went. He was cast out. Out Jimmy went. The old red dragon going out. But somebody would say, but Brother Pike, remember, he was the type of Jesus. But remember, it was Jesus who knew no sin. It was made sin. It was Jesus who was made into the likened to the bloodstream of the first man, Adam, the red dragon, to make an end of it. It was Jesus that was made likened unto the serpent, in that Moses said to hang him up on a pole in the wilderness, whosoever looketh on the serpent. It was Jesus whose head was bruised, when it said, the seed of the woman shall bruise thy head. Whereas Jesus became the seed of the man, in the type, because Adam was of the man. You understand what I'm saying? That was the man part. But it shall come to pass that a woman shall compass a man. That is a divine conception. But there is Jesus, and his head is being bruised. Why? Because the prophecy was, and the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. Jesus, we esteem him smitten of God. His head was bruised. Who bruised his head? Christ bruised the head of that body. Christ, God, smote him. God made him the sinful image, for God sent him. For that which the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh, spoke the body of sin, buried the body of sin, that you and I may never again be sin in his sight. That the body may never again be guilty. Sin come by one man, Adam. Righteousness come by one man, Jesus. So then sin upon all the people because of Adam's transgression. Therefore righteousness upon all of the people because of Jesus' righteousness and resurrection. Therefore Jesus was delivered as the first man, Adam, for my offenses, in that I offended in the presence of the king, or in the presence of God, through the transgression of my forefather Adam. Therefore Jesus became that, and he was delivered for my offenses, and he paid for it. But the Bible says that second man, Adam, or that is the resurrection of Adam, came to show life from the dead. That second man, Adam, he was raised for my justification. The fact that he came up out of the grave victorious over death and these things was the positive proof that death hath no more power over God's creation. So then, in Adam all die, but in Christ all is made alive. Let's reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin by the body of the first man, Adam, that we might all die in Adam, and that we might come forth into Christ, the new man, making within himself twain, both Lord and Christ. Both Lord and Christ. And I say again, to rend the veil in twain. The scapegoat went off into the wilderness, Israel. The body was dead, Israel. Your body is now dead because of sin. But at death, the spirit went back to God who gave it. For the Bible said at death, the spirit goes back to God who gave it. Therefore, you're not of this world. The part of you that is of this world is dead because of sin. Crucified, smitten by God, buried in the name of the Lord in the watery grave. And at death, your spirit went back to God who gave it. Whereas the Bible said, you're not of this world, for I've chosen you out of this world, and I've hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the time of the restitution, the restoring of the millennium, of that of all things that is to come. When we see this, when we understand this, when we believe this, then we see that the old man is dead because of sin, and we understand why that there was a rending of the veil at Calvary. When we understand that if Jesus really truly made in himself twain, if he really was two, not just one, but Jesus made in himself twain, both Lord and Christ, Jesus and the Christ, in that the Lord is that which is Lord of the house, as it's called in the old country, Sarah called Abraham Lord. Lord over his own house, and yet Christ. Both. Then the Bible says that the tabernacle, or it says that the veil of the temple, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. That is to say again that the Spirit, which was Christ, was separated from the Jesus. For he made in himself two, twain, both Lord and Christ, one. But when he was crucified, the middle wall of partition, Lucifer, death, separated the Lord from the Christ. Thus the temple was two. It was rent in twain. That was for your sake, to show that your body, you, that your life was taken away from your body, and your body was buried in the watery grave in the name of Jesus. You lost your life. You lost your identity because of sin. Your body was taken away. And Paul said, the life I now live, it is the life that the Son of God had. Because he survived the crisis and his life came forth. But we who had to go to Calvary did not survive the crisis. In our natural, only through Jesus do we live again. Therefore, the veil of the temple is rent in twain. At death, your spirit went back to God who gave it. The Christ went back into the heavens to mediate, coming back at Pentecost to live in the heart of mankind, to officiate as the high priest of the Old Testament. Whereas the body being buried in the grave, being dead because of sin, thus the life came forth. That I might know him, Paul said, in the fellowship of Calvary, his suffering. Reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin by the body of Jesus Christ. And I might conform to his death in the barrel of water. And I might after that know him in the power of his resurrection. Not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. Thus we come forth in the newness of life. To know him in the power of his resurrection. Now, and so then Calvary brought the rending of the veil. The Jews, which represented the body, Jesus being the head of it, went away. Jimmy Carter cast out of office. But being the red dragon, the blood life, not that Jesus was, but he was made the sinful image. In that which the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sin and for sin, crucified that at Calvary. And the supreme death of execution, of crucifixion, paying the price, in that the judge could not lift the charge, it had to be paid for. Thus the penalty came. I say this again, a judge must execute the law. He has but one law and three options. He can be lenient, he can be severe with it, or he can be mediocre, as we say. But either way that he goes, if you come before him, if it's a broken law, he's got to do one of those two or three things. God could not lift the law, in that the law said the soul that sinneth shall die. He could not lift it, but he executed the law by God, the eternal Father, coming forth, being made flesh, put on a human body, made himself a human body, and God Almighty came into the realms of a sonship to give the son part, the bodily part, to give it up in sacrifice, that the great God part, the life part, the spiritual part, might be preserved eternally in the new body, even the resurrected body. Doing away with the sinful body, bringing up the new body, taking the life from your old man, burying the old man, transferring your life by transplanting the washing of regeneration or the new generation of God, bringing in, coming through Jesus. Here your life went into his body. Like Paul said in his writings, if your husband be dead, if you be a woman, you be free to be married to another. He said this concerning being separated from the law. Being free from the law, we are married to grace. Being free from the body of Adam, the old body, we are married to the new body, even our new husband, the resurrected Jesus Christ. So then we see when Jimmy was cast out, it was the red dragon. The head that was bruised was Christ, the seed of the woman, bruising the head of the serpent. For John called them serpents. Jesus said they are a generation of serpents. They come from the fall of the garden. They are the serpent seed. So they are a generation of serpents. The head is an intellectual, educated head. And faith in the word of God, which is true knowledge. And Paul said science is falsely so called, the word meaning knowledge. He said, and the seed of the church, The seed of the woman, the spiritual child. Not the bond's child, but the child of the free woman. Said, and he shall bruise the head of the serpent. The intellectual system of today shall utterly be done away with. All of their kings and rulers and priests and powers, all of their monetary values shall utterly be done away with. And as it was when the children came out of Egypt, we will possess the world and all of their riches and treasures and whatever, as they gave them to the children. When the plagues come, when the tribulation comes, when the plague comes, they'll cast everything they've got, their money, to the bat. And they won't want education, they'll want God, and they'll pray for death because it'll be so horrible in the natural. But when we look at this and when we understand this, we see the head of the serpent being bruised by the word of God. David in his little sling and the giant going down. The sling of faith and the word of God, the stone that was hewed out of the mountain. Revelation said it smote the image also in its feet. David, that kingdom, it smote it in its head, the first of the kingdom. Down at the end of the way, its son of David smites it in its feet, making a finish. You know, you hit a serpent on the head. The old saying is, his tail don't die till the sun goes down. So over here in the end time, when the shadows start falling, the stone finishes the work on the tail. Now, but in this, we see Jimmy going out. We see Jimmy going out. We see the war, if you're spiritual. We see the war from the Christ against the red dragon. Remember the 10 kings, the confederation of nations, just like the common markets coming together right now. The Bible said they shall give their power to the beast for 1 hour, but they shall burn the whore's flesh with fire because they hate the whore. That is those nations that's been dominated by the Catholic Church over there through the years. The torture they went through, they hate her. And someday they'll literally burn her. But coming up in this confederation for the end time for the beast, we're going to see them give their power to that beast for a while. But notice this in your spiritual revelation. The 10 commandments that are represented by the 10 kings. It was the 10 commandments that made war with Jesus. It was the 10 kings, the 10 horns, which represent power. Because it was the 10 commandments that nailed Jesus to Calvary. And yet Jesus kept every one of them, the law, the jot, down to the very tittle. None of them passed away. But because he was our example in being made sin, the Bible said no flesh being justified by the law, because Jesus was the only flesh that could have ever been justified by the law, but being made sin, that cut him off from justification by the law. Because he was my sin, he had to suffer the penalty of the law. The law therefore triumphed over him to crucify him as the Lamb made war. As the Lamb made war and they warred with him. But in the reality of the resurrection, the Bible said, and the Lamb overcame them and was resurrected from the dead. How was it that the commandments made war with Jesus? How could they have been the 10 horns? How is it that they could have been that which the red dragon had to that extent? Because it's the same way they make war to you and I. Sin gets its strength by the law, by the 10 commandments. Therefore, Lucifer uses the 10 commandments to condemn, to tear down. Lucifer uses the 10 commandments as horns. That is, the blood life, even of the Catholic Church today, uses those 10 commandments. They don't keep them. But they try to bring everybody else under them. Like the man told me in Louisiana a few days ago. Said, I'm Catholic. I'll die Catholic. And said, I'll tell you one thing. Said, anybody don't keep them 10 commandments, ain't got nothing. Yet he was cursing and smoking while he talked. How do you understand what I'm saying? Jimmy being cast out, where did he go? In Revelation 12, the war in heaven, the angels fought. Michael and his angels prevailed. Out went Lucifer. The wandering stars, down they went into the mist of the darkness. Coming up in Revelation 13, out of the waters, there came the beast. There came the beast. Jimmy Carter going out, going down in the plains of Dura. And what is the plains of Dura in the Old Testament? The place where the image came up. Nebuchadnezzar's image. 666, the old beast. Jimmy Carter, yet being a fine man, but he just recently went over there to confer with China again. But the man has tried to bring peace. He's tried to be straight. Since Reagan got in there, there's no peace. Whereas the Bible said there's no peace to the wicked anyway. But Jimmy was that side of it that showed good. And whereas on the Christ side, though it is good, very good, yet it is one with the other, as it will soon be seen. But though it's good, Jesus made the statement, "Think not that I've come to bring peace, but a sword. I've come to bring war." So then, in the days of the Gentiles, it's been war, which means that we're on the verge of world war right now. Israel rising up, and the old beast getting ready, and Jimmy showing the time. The plains of Dura, and still over in China just a few days ago. The old red dragon that wanted to devour the child. But with Jimmy going out, the red dragon went out, remember? Because he only had prestige in the White House while Jimmy was up there. The child was born through the travail of Jimmy. Isn't that right? For Reagan went up to the throne. Isn't that right? Was caught up to the third heaven among the stars, the movie star. It's there. You'll see it show itself in the time, but just a little bit. But the woman on the moon, Revelation 12, that means that if it shows Revelation 12, it was Revelation 11, 15, when the voice sounded. The voice sounded Revelation 11, 15. Then comes Revelation 12, and the woman's got her feet on the moon. The Bible said the end of the world. When Reagan come in, he said, "I feel like I'm coming in, the world's going out." It was the end of the world, because we told the brethren when he went in, said, "This is the end of the world with Reagan coming in." Now, the world is a system. This is where we get off track. Somebody said, "Well, I don't see everything blowing up." It didn't say it would. The Bible said the old world passed away with water. It didn't hurt nothing. The trees, the world was still there. The earth abided forever. But the world and the system of that time, it went out, it changed. And so it's happening today. The Bible said, "Ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come." Peter said that at Calvary. There was another time the world went out. But now, folks, I'm telling you that you're at the end again. And the world is going out. And you're on the verge of the tribulation period, whereas the Bible said the very elements themselves being on fire, or that is the atomic particles, God is going to set the elements on fire, because Lucifer is the prince of the powers of the elements, or that is the power that worketh in the minds of the children of disobedience, or that is to say that he is the ruler over atomic particles. He is the power of knowledge and science. He is the ruler of the powers of the elements, which is the atomic particles. That's why he can start a storm and a hurricane. That's why he can make the waters billow like a pot. That's why he can probe at you through your fleshly body and trouble your soul, because you're made out of the dust particles. But we're going to be changed, because in the eyes of God, we're already changed. In the eyes of God, we're already perfect. In the eyes of God, we're already a finished product. But there has to be a message that will come that will cause our faith to believe that we've passed from death unto life, even in the body. Hallelujah. Be holy in body and in spirit. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, that is, die in the body. But you pass from death unto life, that is the second death, the lake of fire, which is the death of the soul, by the blood of Calvary. And we explain it on tape. You've got it. Some of you understand thoroughly what I'm saying. Some of you, I know you don't. This is the end of the world. Israel is not going to quit. Things are not going to get better. Wicked men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And we're on the verge of world destruction. The greatest calamity that's ever befell the world is about to strike. Israel, acting up the way that they are, indicates that the red dragon is ready to come up out of the water among the people. I told you, Jimmy Carter is not through. Remember, I spoke of him as a type. But you need to understand what I'm saying. The Antichrist is getting ready to come on the scene. Something is taking place. Brothers and sisters, you remember one thing. If that be true, then that means that the rapture of the church is at hand. Because at the first of the week, the third chapter of Revelation, the church ages are over. The fourth chapter of Revelation, the doors in heaven is open. The fifth chapter of Revelation, he sees them around the throne. In the sixth chapter of Revelation, he opens the seals. In the seventh chapter of Revelation, the Jews are sealed and the church is found in heaven. In the eighth chapter of Revelation, all of a sudden the trumpet starts sounding. In the ninth, here they come out of this bottomless pit. And the tenth, the angel steps out. And in the 11th, the trumpet sounds, and in 12, the battle goes on in heaven. In 13, out comes Lucifer. He personifies himself. And in 14, all of a sudden, here comes that great Christ on the cloud coming forth. And the voice is cast in the sickle. And immediately following comes the vials and comes the great whore being overthrown. And comes Revelation 19 and comes 20, the binding, and the 21st. New Jerusalem starts coming into view. Now, all the way from the beginning to the end of Revelation, we are told what's happening right now and what's about to happen. That is why Brother J.C. is here tonight. Brother J.C. follows a certain pattern in the revelation of Christ. Coming back from New Iberia, I told you, I said, it's the judgment, it's the throne. I spoke of it this morning. I said, it's the change. And brethren, the revelation is so tremendously great and deep, it's like a great well. But in that hour of the change, every man has to fulfill his type. Little Bethlehem is a Pacific thing at a Pacific moment to show a Pacific move of God. Brother J.C. just went into retirement. Brother J.C. is an accountant. When you say, Jesus Christ, and thou shalt give account thereof for every deed done in the body. That is why he's here tonight. To show the typical thing of Jesus, he has retired. You understand what I'm saying? He has retired from his busy work. He rested. He created in 6 days. On the seventh, he rested. It indicates that the Lord has worked with the Gentiles as long as he will. Now he's coming forth, and out of Bethlehem comes forth a babe, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And the people shall give an account thereof. J.C., Jimmy Carter, Jesus Christ, shall give an account thereof. And Brother J.C., ever since I've known him, he's even as an accountant, he's very thorough and explicit. His books is always shown down to the penny. If one's gone, it has to balance. He set up his own books, his own system, an excellent system. Now, in this thing that the Lord has allowed it to come to this tonight, it positively proves that with what the Jews are doing, I told you when they come on the scene, I said, brethren, we don't war against flesh and blood. We are spirits warring against evil spirits of lust, covetousness, hatred, bitterness, fear, complex of mind, bewilderment. But I said, when the Jews come, they'll use the natural sword and the natural plane and the natural bombing, and they'll take the natural kingdom of the world. And I said, and the Protestants will come together with the Catholics, because the Catholics have to do with the body and the Protestants, the spirit. But really, in reality, the Jews is the body, the Catholics is the soul, the Protestants is the spirit. Now, in another realm speaking, but right now, the Catholics coming together, it shows that second realm. Remember, the red dragon was in that realm. And remember, when the Catholics gave up the crown and when the Pope was shot, you remember how we brought it out, what it had to do with. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. This is the end of the world. The tribulation is fixing to come in. The government has changed. The days of the Gentiles is over. They're fixing to go into judgment, and they're going to pay with their lives in war and sorrow and heartaches. They're going to pay with their lives for their frolic and foolishness and living so lusciously and not doing the things that God called us as children of God to do. Not doing the things of being about our Father's business. God is going to punish with death and with severe punishment them that have not obeyed and honored. But he said, them that I so find doing that is the will of the Father, feeding my sheep, when I find them at my coming doing this, I'll make them ruler over all I've got. I hope you're trying to do that. Many things we would like to say tonight. Many things we could say tonight. But we have, proportionally speaking, bit by bit, said so many things on hundreds of tapes that you have here. Tried to rehearse and put some of them together by adding a little new to it, so that you could watch the times and the seasons to be ready, and your mind could be programmed with proper faith as to who you are and where you are, what's happening, and that you could be ready at the coming of the Lord. The Bible says, ready at the coming of the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the way the Bible says it. So then, I trust that you are ready. And I want you to stand with me. I love you and appreciate you. Would like to say a lot more things to you. But I know you're hot and uncomfortable. You see this water? A little drink of water. Folks, the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, just wanting a drop of water. Tonight, you that are here, you that hear my voice, you that still have life, you have a chance to escape the fire. You have a chance to come to God, to be born again, to repent of your sins, to be baptized in the lovely name of the Son of God for the remission of sins. You have opportunity to know Him in the suffering, conformity of death, to come forth in the resurrection. That is His power. A little water, there won't be any water in hell. I drank this water, I get so thirsty. Just a little swallow of water. But in hell, the thing that's plentiful here to you people, you won't be able to get a drop. Not a drop of it in hell. Now's the time to do something about it. You can if you will. Now's the time. Let's sing a little chorus together. I want to say again, it's a privilege to have these people here with me tonight from Douglas. Appreciate it so much. And it's such a privilege to have our brother J.C. Ward and family with us. I appreciate him coming down. It's just such a blessing these people would drive down from Covington and drive out of Douglas to come and be with us, to share in our enthusiasm for God, and to share the wonderful blessings of the great expose of the mind of the revelation of Jesus. Those that are counted worthy, pray always. Pray tonight. Pray through the night. Pray tomorrow. Pray through the day. Pray always. Meditate in His laws day and night. Pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape the tribulation, all the things that's coming on this earth. Horrible things, so horrible that young men's hearts will fail them for fear of looking after those things that's to come upon the earth. Okay, let's sing this together. Oh, there's room at the cross.
for you. Can you sing it with me?
Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you.
Sing it one more time.
Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you.
Now, while they're playing tonight, you know, this is a great moment, a great moment. And while they're playing tonight, I want you to just step out for just a few minutes. I want you to come down to the altar. I want you to just ask Jesus, just say, Jesus, Lord Jesus, help me. Help me, Jesus. And if there really is room at the cross for me, Jesus, do something for me tonight, because the end of the world is here and time is running out. Time is running out. The end of the world is here and time is running out, and soon time will be no more. You know, we preached a message or two here called Time Shall Be No More. Revelation 10 in the days of the voice. Time shall be no more. The days of the voice, time shall be no more. And we preached the message on what time is and where time came from and what time has to do with and how it got started and how it relates to death and what will bring the end of time. Did you ever think of it like this? Men would like to eradicate poverty from the earth, but they'll never be able to do it by trying to feed the hungry and the poor. The reason is, as in heaven, so in earth, there's too much spiritual poverty. But the day when the saints come in and all of the spiritual poverty is gone, there'll be no hungry hearts anymore. That part of the people that's represented or representing the church, there will be no more poverty to them. They're trying to get rid of murder and war and killings, whereas the Bible says, where does this come from? Is it not from the lust that war in your members? You lust, you desire to have, you cannot obtain to. You have not because you ask not. You ask amiss, you receive not because you ask amiss, to consume it on your own personal desire, and you don't want to use it for the glory of God. The original wording of the word desire, lust is desire. Now, they'll never get rid of murder. They'll never get rid of theft. They'll never get rid of war. Why? Not until they get rid of spiritual robbers. As long as Satan is loose, he's a thief and a robber. As in the spirit in heaven, so in the earth. If there is a spiritual robber, there must be a natural robber, because it is given in the natural as a type of everything. To educate, to program our minds, to develop us, everything in the natural, all of the invisible things from the creation of the world, are clearly understood by the things which do appear, even to the eternal Godhead, so that we are without excuse. So then when we look around us and see all of the types to get rid of
natural robbers, we must get rid of spiritual robbers. They won't need any police anymore. To get rid of natural murder, we've got to get rid of spiritual murder. To get rid of natural poverty, we've got to get rid of spiritual poverty. All of these things come into existence from the fall of the garden. When everything got out of kilt in heaven, spiritual robbers got in, spiritual poverty got in, that people was cut off from God and they're spiritually starving to death. Then there had to be a natural type in the earth. Since there is a natural preacher, or a spiritual preacher that is, there has to be a natural physician. Heal thyself, physicians, as the preacher is called. There has to be a natural judge because there is a spiritual judge, and that judgment begins at the house of God. To completely do away with the world, to completely do away with sickness, is to do away with spiritual sickness. Once all of the spiritual things are set in order, and all of the spiritual infiltration is eliminated, then all of the earth will be singing and rejoicing, for there won't be any other defects at all in the body. The spiritual, the physical, the natural. I would above all things that you prosper, the scripture tells us, and be in health even as your soul prospers. Soul prosperity spiritually, bodily prosperity, health physically, natural prosperity, your prosperity in the natural, finance, the blessings of inheritance. So then, this world that is yet natural represents in every perspective something spiritual. When you get the mind of God, the revelation is the unveiling of the type. Sarah, New Jerusalem. Hagar, Old Jerusalem. Isaac, the son of promise. Ishmael, the bonds child, those that are bound with sin. Everything is represented, everything in heaven, spiritually in heaven, is represented by some natural type in the earth. So then, when that which is spiritual is come, that which is in the natural will be done away with. For heaven and earth shall pass away. For the Bible said, the great light, the Ancient of Days, sitting upon the white throne after the millennium, the heavens fled away, the earth fled away, the islands, everything fled away. There was found no place for the ocean. For heaven and earth shall pass away. But you who are the Word made flesh shall never pass away. For the Word, God the Great Spirit, shall never pass away. He is, He was, and He shall be, even from everlasting to everlasting. The day sprang from on high has visited the people, and they that sit in the regions of the shadow of death, to them great light is spring up. Now, in this is the light of the evening time. The unveiling, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that the gross darkness of intellectual reasoning may be eradicated with the brightness of His coming. Everything in the natural, if you want to straighten it out, all you got to do is get things right in the spirit. That's why the promises to you as an individual, that all these things will be around you but won't come nigh your dwelling. Because if you straighten you out in your little world and your sovereignty out, you've got your own little world all as well. The only trouble you'll have is outside of the circle that probes at you. If everybody straightens themselves out, then all will be straight in the spiritual. All then will automatically straighten up in the natural. So if you want to get rid of poverty, that's the way to eliminate it. If you want to get rid of sickness, that's the way to eliminate it. If you want to get rid of spiritual thieves or natural thieves, robbers, then get right with God. Let's bind Lucifer. Let's get rid of the spiritual thieves. As long as there's nothing in the spirit, there don't have to be a type in the earth. It's gone just like that. Even mankind, once the type is finished, the revelation, the finishing of the mistress, Thessalonians change, moment, twinkling of an eye, that quick, and your natural body won't be here anymore. It'll be a spiritual body. And then with that, when everything is set in order in the natural, just as it was in your spirit, the moment you were set right in your angelic part, you was translated into a spiritual being. Just as quick as you set things right in your physical body, you'll be changed into a spiritual being. Just as soon as the millennium comes in and God straightens up everything in the earth and the natural, government, whatever, it'll be changed and the celestial will come in. Spiritually, physically, naturally. It was lost from Adam naturally, physically, spiritually. It is changed from Calvary spiritually, physically, naturally to the restoration. So then it is a beautiful thing that the Lord is doing. Let this mind be in you so that you may be translated, that you might pass the grave. Because in the past, your forefathers, they died, they could go by the grave, miss the tribulation. You can't die and go by the grave, many of you, because you'll be going through the tribulation period. If you don't make the change, you don't have the privilege of going by the grave. It's either make the change or go through the tribulation. They could make the change, or they could die, you know, before the change. But now we're coming to the generation that has to make the change or go through the tribulation. And of course, at this point, God is giving the message for the change, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Don't just sit around, folks, waiting on a translation that all of a sudden you're going to be raptured. There is no such word in the Bible. Rapture is not in the Bible. There's no such word. It's a man application. It has thrown the church for a loop. But the Bible said change from glory to glory. And it is true that we'll be, as we say, raptured, which means caught up. It is true there'll be a millennium, though there's no such word in the Bible. It's 1,000 years, but 1,000 doesn't mean a millennium, and a man application brings it to that. But a lot of times the word rapture can trip you. Let's get in and get the revelation in the mind of God and be changed from glory to glory unto the finishing touch or the completion of our course, or to that where we come out from under the tutoring, to the adoption that Paul spoke of, even the change of the body, the redemption of the purchased possession. Let's work our way to it through believing and praying and trusting God that we be ready at that moment so we can be, as we say, raptured at the ultimate. Let's just lift our hands up together one more time now. Will you do that with me? I want to pray with you. Father of heaven, Lord, as we come to the close of another service, we know for sure that thou alone, O God of majesty and greatness, thou alone art magnified. Holy Father, in that day no man shall save them. And thou alone shall be exalted in that day. Father, as we praise and honor thee to give thee glory, knowing that everything in heaven and earth and underneath the earth was found to be praising and glorifying your name. For to thee belongs majesty and glory and power and magnificence. O God, be merciful to us. Through grace of God and the shed blood of your darling Son, by faith in the lovely name of that great, wonderful child, Jesus. Holy Father, knowing that there is salvation in none other name, Father. And O God, knowing that there is the wonderful glory of God given to us only through Christ our beloved. Holy Father, in this we ask for your love and blessings. Therefore, having been buried in death with you, Father, we know that we've been resurrected in the newness of life, having passed from death unto life. Oh, dear Father, we ask in Jesus' name tonight to save, to heal, Lord, to forgive. Father, heal tonight in Jesus' name. Heal, oh God, heal, and I feel you healing. Heal right now. Oh God, I feel the faith of some right now believing. Heal, my Father. Heal.
oh Lord, and let them feel the same virtue that the little woman felt of the scripture that we read. By faith, as the virtue went out of the body of the Lord Jesus and healed to make whole. Oh Lord, in the name of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, grant it, my Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I felt somebody's faith go out to God. Somebody got healed tonight. I felt their faith go up to God, and I felt the virtue of God coming out of the body of Christ, whose body you are, members in particular. Solomon's day, whoever looks toward the temple shall be healed, calling on the name of the Lord. Let's sing this little chorus together. If you believe it, then sing it like this. And we'll give all the glory, Jesus. We'll sing of His love. We'll sing about His love. And we'll give all the glory, Jesus. And we'll sing of His wonderful. Sing it with me again now, can you? And we'll give all the glory, Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. And we'll give all the glory, Jesus. And we'll sing of His wonderful love. I believe we ought to sing it one more time. So we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. And we'll give all the glory, Jesus. And we'll sing of His wonderful love. You know, I really like that, don't you? I like this little chorus too. We sing it sometimes, you know. Give me another key, Frank. Well, I looked over Jordan and what did I see? Coming to carry me home. It was a band of angels coming after me. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. They're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. They're coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming to. They're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. They're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. They're coming to carry me home. Don't you love Jesus? I want you to lift your hands up with me one more time now. Let's love Jesus. I love you tonight. My heart's desire is that not one person here be lost. Not one person be cut off out there in the vast eternity without the lovely Son of God, without His precious redeeming blood, that not one of us tonight would go away without accepting His sweet, lovely name. for the remission of sin tonight, and to follow in His lovely steps to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. So then tonight, let's lift our hands and let's love Him. Let's love Him tonight. Jesus is so wonderful. He is so wonderful. I'm going to ask Brother David to come tonight and dismiss us. David, would you come up here and dismiss us? Tonight, as our Brother David comes, I want you to just think for a few minutes. Something is happening, folks. Your life, though you may not be aware of it, God in heaven is using your life every step. Every step, every day, He's ordering your footsteps. The Bible said that the steps of a righteous man, they're ordered by the Lord. In every step of the way, the great Holy Spirit is watching over you, ordering your steps because He loves you. He's never forgotten. He loves you. Tonight, as David comes to dismiss you, the Bible says, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. Tonight, remember all of your believing is in vain, except it be believing according to the Word of God. There is no faith unto salvation, except that comes by the Word. What the Word says, you believe it. The proof of your believing is you act upon it and you do it. Thus it is salvation. The ark saved Noah because he heard, he believed, he acted, and thus it became the salvation for his family. So tonight, examine yourself. See if your conviction is in the Word. See if perhaps somewhere you might have sidestepped the Word, or if your conviction is really, truly in the Word of the living God. If you really believe what it says, and you've really acted on what it told you. Examine yourselves, the Bible said. See if you be in the faith. A lot of times a person can examine them on themselves. They stay away from the doctor and the hospital. Examine yourselves. See if your conviction is in your feelings, in your thoughts, in your experiences, in your ideas, and what you've heard. Or see if it's in the Word of God. Faith by the hearing of the Word. The latter time some shall depart from the Word of God. From faith and confidence in what he said, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, not really being convicted in the Word of God at all, but just having convictions of their own feelings, their own ideas. But tonight, see if your conviction is in the Word. As David comes to pray with you, examine yourselves tonight. Brother David.